Good morning, good afternoon, good night. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Positivity Spartans. It's your boy Isaiah Hubbard back again with my co-host Marcellus James, and we are joined today by a very special guest, Eric Hughley. What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today?
Doing very blessed. Like I said, gentlemen, thank you for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no doubt. Thank you, man. Thank you. Now, Eric, man, just let the people know where you're from, man, if you just give them a little profile, just so they know who they're talking to, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. So just a little bit about myself. A little kid growing up in the Bronx, New York. Moved to Texas when I was a little bit younger, in my 20s. And now I'm back stationed at Fort Drum, New York right now. Just doing what I do best. Basically, I'm a behavioral health tech in the military, but on the civilian side, you know, I have my bachelor's degree in science and psychology, and then I'm working on my master's degree in addiction counseling currently right now. And I'm looking to pursue, you know, probably a future in addiction counseling, and probably look for a subspecialty in performance psychology as well, probably on the doctoral side. So that's a little bit about me.
Man, you don't just walk the walk, you talk the talk too, huh? I mean, like, you got the certifications and everything, man. That's what's up. I didn't know I was talking to a highly certified professional, man.
No, man. I mean, my brother Marcellus knows I'm pretty passionate about behavioral health, because at the end of the day, you know, our bodies are what we have, and in order for our bodies to move, you know, it takes those major organs. You got your heart and your mind, your brain. And if you don't have a strong mental and you don't have a healthy mental, then nothing you do in life is going to serve. Nothing you do in life is really going to have or serve a purpose, in my opinion.
My goodness. That's a gem right there. Because that is too true, bro. I mean, that is too true. I mean, on the note, while we're on the aspect, before we get in too deep, how's everybody doing mentally, man? How was y'all weekend?
Oh, mental for me. I can tell you, I definitely needed this weekend. It was a reset. Yeah, man, last 2 weeks I've been training for my expert field medical badge, and, you know, it's been kind of tough on me physically, mentally had to, you know, kind of recalibrate. So, you know, this was a reset, a good Saturday, Sunday for myself and be able to spend it with the family. So definitely needed this.
That's always beautiful, man. I'm glad to hear it. You know, got to reset, man, because we need that sometimes. We get so indulged in our everyday life, man. We sort of forget to sit down and smell the roses.
Couldn't agree with you more.
How about you, Mac? What's up with you, bro? How was your weekend?
It was cool. I sat in the house and binge watched some shows. You know, relaxed, get my me time back. And just finished a class, and I've just figured out that I gotta grind out like 12 classes all the way up until like June of this year.
Ooh.
So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, that's good luck with that, man. I'm sending you all the vibes you need for that one.
Just like Hughley's doing, I found out about a master's program, and I can actually make it this year. So I'm just excited that, at least for the opportunity, to be able to apply for it within the next 120 days.
That's what's up, bro. Furthering your education, because you just graduated not too long ago, too, though, right?
Yeah, with my associates.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Continue pushing, bro.
Long time over.
Hey, That's good stuff.
Right.
Also, you know, I mean, I'm big in the behavioral health field as far as the military goes. So, you know, I have an array of friends on the social worker side, as well as, you know, peers and leaders as well. So if you need anything, just let me know.
Definitely.
I love that, man. I love when people can just lend a helping hand like that.
Got to take care of each other, man.
Man, what? Each one teach one, my brother. Each one teach one.
That's it right there.
Oh, man, I can't complain at all, man. Had a pretty great weekend, man. I didn't do much Friday, just chill, binge watch. Same as you, Marcellus. Started Umbrella Academy Season 2. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's definitely pretty awesome if anybody watches it. My boy JoJo came back, man. He moved back to Fort Worth. The Marine brought him back here. So went up there, visited him, helped him unpack the house and everything, man. Got to vibe with him and the family. He's a childhood friend of mine, man. So it's always good to see, you know, those people that you've known for a long time. You know, those those people that you can, that you actually trust, you know what I mean, who've been in your life more than 10 plus years. It's rare that you keep people around that long these days, but, you know, when you do get those people like you, Marcellus, you know what I'm saying? You just got to hold on to them. They're rarity. But,
been my friend for almost 10 years, too.
Yeah, bro, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's been crazy.
For sure.
Crazy. But today, man, I've just been chilling. Yeah, me relaxing, getting ready for the week. Forex market opens up, so getting ready for that, man, and just ready to accept all these blessings in abundance, man. You know how it goes.
Hear that.
But I'm glad to hear we're all on a positive mental page, man, because, you know, with everything going on in the world, it seems like it's easy to get lost in the social media and the news and, you know what I mean, everything that you see on Facebook, Twitter. You know, it has a big effect on me because, you know, most Americans spend most of their day in front of a screen, whether it's their phone or whether it's a computer screen at work. But they're indulging all the negative energy that's on their feeds, all the daily things that go on in work, all the daily things in life, and it starts to pile up. And then with the added quarantine and everything, it just doesn't make it easy for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
I can definitely agree with that.
That's why I definitely wanted to you know, have you gentlemen come on here and we talk about some depression and anxiety, because I don't know about y'all, but, you know, personally, I suffer from both. And, you know, not every day is sunshine and rainbows. I try to be the positive outlook every single day. But, you know, some days it gets the best of me. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you on that one for sure, Isaiah.
And then, you know, just wanted people to know that, you know, we can resonate with that, you know, with those feelings that a lot of people are having out there. And, but Eric, you know, again, like I said, thank you for coming on. When you, so you say you do mental health on both the civilian and the military side?
Yeah. So I volunteer over at Samaritan Psychiatric Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Not every now and then, not all the time, just when I can get away. And then on the military, I'm a behavioral health. I'm the non-commissioned officer for the whole brigade.
Gotcha.
Over in my unit. So.
Okay, that's a pretty big position, man.
Yeah, it is. It has its ups and it has its downs, like you said.
with great power comes great responsibility, right?
This is true.
But you know, I'm real glad that you had mentioned that, because you know, I just wanted to ask you: do you see a difference in how can I say? I guess the types of anxiety, if that makes sense, between, you know, the civilian side versus the military sector?
Oh, definitely night and day almost. And I'm glad you asked that question. So, you know, let's talk about anxiety to begin with. So people think, you know, anxiety is a negative thing, but there's also good anxiety, right?
Okay.
Anxiety pretty much is the feeling of worrying, you know, or having nervousness or unease about something, or not really knowing what the outcome is going to be, right?
Right.
So you may have individuals who, like, say, for instance, were born and raised in a harsh environment. And I can go ahead and, you know, put myself in that example, because I don't mind. It's easier for me to talk about something I went through. So growing up as a child, you know, when I was 16 years old, hanging out with my friends, I've been shot at. I had a individual come roll up on me on a bike, point a gun right at my head, was robbed at point blank, gun, you know, had all that happen to me. And, you know, I'm always having these anxious feelings that, you know, I have to look over my shoulder, watch my back.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this anxiety growing up, I was able to channel and use it to be good anxiety, because this anxiety forced me to be a little bit more vigilant, if you would say, on the military side. And being vigilant in the army or military in general is something good to have, because that heightens your situational awareness, in a sense, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And then we talk about anxiety as far as, you know, like, let's say, let's go into the civilian sector. You have individuals, and it's not just civilian. Let me not just say civilian sector, but the majority of it is OCD, right? Yeah. Obsessive compulsion disorders. You have some where individuals understand that it may be, oh, this individual is cleaning all the time, but that's not necessarily the case. This anxiety comes from, you know, a systematic approach to where individuals have to do things a certain way, have things in a certain order in order to continue with their day. Like, for example, you may have, let's keep it simple, right? You have an individual who has a pack of M&Ms. They see 5 blue, 4 red, 3 yellow. They need to get that 2 brown and that 1 other color to keep that sequential number going, or else their day is just ruined.
Wow.
Like, it's little things like that. You know, that's where that OCD comes from.
Yeah.
And then the cleaning, like individuals, you know, you have individuals that are constantly washing their hands to the point to where their hands are just rubbed raw. It looks like there's like a gloss per se, or it is over their hands. It gets extremely bad, and that's just a way, like I said, it's a systematic approach on how they attack daily living in order to start their day. Now, once the day is started, there's always something so little or minute that may cause a pause in their day to where they can't move forward until that task is complete. And that's just like with anybody with OCD, really. It's just really that, like I said, I can't stress it enough, a systematic approach on how things need to be done before moving forward.
Right. And that's crazy, man. It's like I knew OCD was like one of those things, but I never knew, like, looked at it as a form of anxiety. That was actually eye-opening to me right there. You had said, now in the military, hypervigilance, man, because that's something I suffer from. And, bro, like you said, man, it's great when you're a soldier. You know what I mean? It's great when you're deployed. You know what I mean? When you need to be on watch, you know what I mean? But when you try to calm down and you know me, when you're laying in bed, and then boom, your mind just doesn't stop racing because you're thinking about everything, you mean, that might could happen or something that may have happened like 2 weeks ago. And now you just can't rest. And, you know, that's something that I suffer from. And and I don't know if anybody else can agree with me, but I'm glad you had brought that hypervigilance thing up, man, because it's real, man. And, you know, I've talked to a few other people who have it or who experience it on the civilian side. And like you said, because, you know, something may have happened where somebody rolled up on them or they were just wrong place, wrong time. And I really appreciate you telling us, you know what I mean, what happened to you. And you explained to us how you turned it into a positive light. You know what I mean? How you use it as like a beacon of guidance, because that's exactly what we're about here on Positivity Spartans, bro.
I never even thought about that being anxiety, though, because like I grew up in the same kind of environment where like shootouts were common.
And, mm-hmm. Right,
you know, you hear gunshots all the time, and I never thought about that. Like, I just thought that's the way it was supposed to be, because you're there, right. You got to be ready. But right. I never thought about it as a sense of anxiety, and I was kind of on that looking over my shoulder deal and all that. But when I moved to PA after like a few years, I kind of calmed down. I mean, I still could see stuff the way people don't normally see if they haven't grown up in a certain environment. Like, I could see situations happen.
Right.
Before they happen, just right. Because of the environment I grew up in. So now, that's kind of eye-opening to me. So
damn, now, let me ask you something. Do y'all think, my bad, do y'all think that is a form of PTSD?
Hell yeah.
yes, I can, and that's what I was gonna talk on next. You know, that's definitely, I do think that's a form of PTSD. It may be a mild form of PTSD, because it's not mm-hmm. PTSD on the level to where individuals are having flashbacks or night terrors or nightmares, things of that nature, right? I would say it's more a conditioned response due to your environment, if you would say.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Because like Marcella said, I mean, for sure, you know, growing up in the hood, it's like, oh, okay, someone's shooting again. Let's make sure we get down, or we walk this way so we could divert from it, and just little things that help condition you to make you a little bit a little bit more, you know, aware of your surroundings.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely a conditioned response to, you know, the environment you grew up in with a mild case of PTSD. And I talk to my wife about this all the time, you know, my hypervigilance, to touch on that again, it kicks in when I'm at home, because I have like my wife, my daughter, my mother-in-law lives with me. It's all girls in here. My wife is currently pregnant right now with our second child.
Oh, I tell you, congratulations, man.
Appreciate it. And I tell you, I cannot get a good night's sleep. I hear one little thing and I'm jumping out the bed ready to go.
Man, so, I understand that.
It's rough at times, but at the same time, like I said, it's just that conditioning that I had growing up as a child. Hey, you hear this, it's time to get up. We got to make moves. We got to do this a certain way.
Right.
Like keep your hands in a certain position if you're getting stuck up or robbed. Like just little things like that, you know?
Absolutely, man. I mean, same way you said you woke up at sleep for any little noise, man. I've jumped out my sleep and like slammed my bedroom door thinking there was somebody out. Like, who's there? You know what I mean? So I've been there, bro. I do it. I can laugh at it now. You know what I mean? But in the moment, you know what I mean? My mind was going crazy. But you know what I mean? It's just I feel you on that, man. And I know a lot of other people can resonate with that because it's, you know, it's just one of those things, man. That hypervigilance, dude. Like that is, I can't stress that enough, man, because it plagues me every single day.
No, yeah, I'm with you on that one, Isaiah. Like for real. And don't get me wrong, I just want to put it out there too, that there's nothing wrong with being hypervigilant. But like you said, sometimes it's out of your control. You cannot turn it off. And absolutely, that's kind of when, that's when it starts to, you know, bother your lifestyle, your life patterns, what you do in your daily living, you know? So it's not always a bad thing, but you know, it has its cons as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. We talked about the hypervigilance and the anxiety. I want to talk a little bit more on PTSD. Cause you know, there's different aspects. Like we just covered on the civilian, well, on the civilian side, you know, if something may happen to you or the place you grew up, you know what I mean? You get conditioned to certain things. Whereas me, I was born in little old Lebanon, PA, where if you heard a gunshot, you know what I mean? That was big news. I mean, not so much now, I guess, but you know, growing up in that environment, I was never exposed to that. You know, to give an example, I never seen a bum until I went to New York.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that, like, things like that, you know, when people grow up in certain environments, you know, they see certain things and, you know, stuff to get out of control. You know, we have these, you know, we have these young black and brown boys and girls in classes and, you know, I mean, they're acting a certain way just because of their life at home or, you know, the area they live in. They always feel like they're on edge or they always may feel like irritated, maybe because they can't sleep because there's gunshots all night, what have you. I just want to touch on that fact that, you know, even as a child, you know, they can suffer from, you know, anxiety, depression and PTSD as well. And that can affect them in the school system. And I'm not a big fan on Dr. Umar because some of the stuff he says is, you know, I don't agree with everything he says. Let me just leave it there. But the one thing he did touch on was they're real quick to diagnose, you know, ADHD, you know what I mean, and put these kids on pills versus finding what lies deeper within. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. I'm glad you talked about Dr. Umar. So don't get me wrong, Dr. Umar, kudos to his accolades and his professional career. But at the same time, I'm with you on that one. I don't 100% and can't get on board or get jiggy with everything Dr. Umar says.
Right.
and you know, that's a professional courtesy, you know. I mean, he's not gonna, just like if I was credentialed on a doctoral level and you know there was a PhD or a PsyD behind in front of my name, right? I'm pretty sure he wouldn't agree with everything I say. So
absolutely.
I think you're right though. One thing that we're quick to do, and I say we because I'm talking about us as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. We're quick to, you know, put a label on something instead of digging deeper and trying to figure out what's the root cause, right? You have individuals, as far, like you said, you have ADHD, for children, instead of kind of seeing what environment they come from, because this is a study that it was a research project I had, back in undergrad where I did a case on ADHD to see if individuals did more to figure out if an individual had ADHD or they just didn't understand their environment. So they labeled them with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that clinical psychologists, for the most part, don't understand the environmental structure in which some children grow up in. It doesn't necessarily mean they have, you know, cross circuits in the brain or, you know, neurons and neuroperforins or, you know, cross and things like that. That doesn't mean that. It's just they are conditioned due to the environment, that they grew up in. And I think like most psychologists, for the most part, you know, don't understand that. And I feel like I can say that because I'm in the field of psychology, right? So, mm-hmm. For one, I have a good friend of mine who was diagnosed with ADD as a child, but this guy is the most functional individual and has never had really any outbursts as an adult. It's just, like you said, it's where you come from. His environment, which was the same environment I'm from, caused him to be a wild child, not right. necessarily having, you know, a mental deficit. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, man. Because it's, you know, I understand, you know, you have X amount of students in the class and, you know, one disrupting can cause chaos for everybody else. But it doesn't take much, man, just to sit down and try to connect. You know what I mean? I feel like even as adults, you know what I'm saying, in relationships, whether they be intimate relationships or friendly relationships, you know what I mean? People grew up different. So people deal with things different. Some people, you know, some people might shut out. They might not talk to people for a while. Guilty. But, you know, it's never no love loss. It's just, it's never no love loss. You know what I mean? It's just something that happens, you know? And just being an understanding friend, being an understanding parent, teacher, guardian, what have you, you know what I mean? That can go a long way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
Cause you know, we all deal with it. We all deal with different things, man. You know, nobody's depression is, I don't want to say better. Nobody's depression is worse than another's, but at the same time, it's like depression is depression. You feel me? It's, right. You know what I mean? Like if we can, I'm real big on working on communication. Cause like I said, I tend to, when I go through my depressed states, I tend to, you know what I mean, isolate myself from everything and anybody. I really just, you know what I mean, I'm in my own zone because that's where I feel comfortable, because I'm in depression because, you know, I may not feel safe or whatever it may be. But, you know, just being able to know that somebody's going through something and knowing that, okay, if I just give them time, or, hey, maybe if I just go talk to them, you know, having that understanding, you know what I mean, it can prevent suicide. Because, you know, another reason why I wanted to talk about this is because suicide rates among soldiers and just people in general is ridiculously high.
Rising still.
Which is crazy, man. And, you know, us being all three of us, you know, soldiers, man, it seems like it happens to us more. You know what I mean? You know, the whole April 2nd incident that happened to me, you know, that was dude committed suicide after he had just, you know, murdered three people and shot X amount. I mean, and it's just things like that. You know, if we can get to that understanding where we can, how can I say, let's not prevent people from suffering depression and anxiety, but aid people through so that they can see other alternatives, man. That's really what I want to dive into, man, because that's, and you being in that field, man, you're pushing the force.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and the thing too, where people don't realize with, you know, that depression and anxiety, I mean, depression, people think of depression and what do they think? They think, well, if you're Marcellus, when you think about depression, what do you think a person's mood is? Let me just ask that question.
Well, I know there's like high functioning depression, and I was going to kind of ask you a question and along those lines, because I know like, everyone that's depressed doesn't necessarily have that. They're sheltered. They're in a house.
Right.
They don't speak to anybody kind of deal. So I was going to ask you, like, how do you identify someone with, like, high-functioning depression?
Right. So I'm glad you brought that up. So I have a definition here that I want to read, right? And it says depression. It says conditions associated with elevations or lowerings of a person's mood. So say, for instance, Marcellus, you know me on a personal level. Mm-hmm. If you may see me kind of down and out, you may, for over a certain period of time, you may come to me like, hey, bro, you good? You okay? What's going on? You seem a little depressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you see me act completely like a wild child, like if it's out of the norm for me and it's over a prolonged period of time, you probably come up to me and ask me, hey, you know, you good? More than likely, you'd probably be like, hey, bro, you on something? I mean, but other than that, I mean, that's another way you can classify somebody with depression, right? That's that bipolar depression right there. That's when individuals get into that manic state to where they're on an extreme high for more than like a week, where individuals don't really get sleep. Individuals don't stop what they're doing. Their brain is about to go into overload. It's hard for individuals to shut their brain off because they have so much euphoria going through them, just with accomplishing tasks and having so much time to do X, Y, and Z. And that's when we have to go ahead and take a step back and be like, hey, is this normal for this individual to be on such a high? And that's another way how, because like you said, these individuals are fully functioning, but at the same time, you got to kind of look at their patterns of behavior. Do they change from what they were like yesterday? Like, is this a new behavior pattern that Eric is exhibiting versus the Eric that I saw a week ago? Like, something's not right.
Right.
So just little things like that. Trust me, when somebody's fully, when you see somebody and they're fully functioning, but their behavior is abnormal from what it's normally, then you might want to go ahead and look at that individual and get them the help they need, because I think that's where a lot of us, you know, we miss those. I call those missed opportunities. We miss those times to ask our brothers and sisters, are you good? What do you need? Let's get you the help you need, because you're not functioning right. Something's off with you. And I think individuals, they'll probably like see a person functioning, a fully functional bipolar individual who's going through a manic episode and who has no, I wouldn't say is dumb on the fact, but more ignorant because they don't have the education behind it to know that. They just probably would be like, oh, well, he's all good, she's all good, ain't nothing really wrong with them. They're probably just having a great day.
Right.
You know? So I think those are missed opportunities right there.
And man, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I harp on a lot. You know, the people you surround yourself around play a huge impact on your life. You know, the energies you keep around, you know what I mean, are going to affect your aura and your energies. And like you said, man, you need the right people around you so they can step in and ask those questions, you know, like, hey, man, you're right. Noticed you've been drinking kind of crazy these last few weeks. I mean, everybody else might think you're having fun, but I know the real you. Like, are you okay? That, as well as, you know, Marcellus Lane, he's not here, but, you know what I mean, my boy Tron Smith, Nick, you know what I mean, all my close friends, we do health and wellness checks. You know what I mean, we hit them up like, hey, brother, how you doing this week? You know what I mean, just off the slide out of nowhere. Anytime I think about one of my homeboys, I mean, I hit them up just to see how they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's little things like that. You never know. You reaching out could, you know, impact somebody's day in a whole different way. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree with you on that. And I'm glad you said that, because, like, for me, you mentioned it earlier, Isaiah. There's no, like, if I don't see you, it's kind of like an out of sight, out of mind. But when we link up, you know, it's no love lost. We picked up right where we left off, right?
Right.
And Marcellus knows that. I hadn't spoke to Marcellus in years, and then next thing you know, we meet in Germany and we kicking it, we playing ball like almost every day. Like,
right?
It's like we picked up right where we left off out of AIT. So it's, I think it's wonderful that you're doing those. I like to call them homeboy checks, because I do it too.
Yes, sir.
But I also do that with my soldiers. My soldiers think when I talk to them just when I'm at work, but I'll shoot a random text like, hey, you good? You want to go out to eat? You want to talk about stuff throughout the week that probably bothered you? I just need to make sure their mental is good, because, one, at the end of the day, that soldier's mother and father trusted the Army to have their back, right? Or the military in general. We have to make sure as leaders that, I got it, we have a life too. But guess what? Those soldiers, you have those 19, 18 to 25-year-old soldiers have never been away from mommy, daddy, brother, sister, that, and the third. They're now in an environment to where they have to fend for themselves. But in reality, they do not have to fend for themselves when they have leaders like Marcellus. Marcellus, I can tell you, Marcellus is a great leader. I've seen what he's done with his soldiers, and I've seen the example he set for them. And what an amazing individual. Like, I can't, like, be any proud of my brother on what he does in the Army.
That's my dog.
But like, I'm a huge mental advocate too. And I made it a thing back when I was in Germany, especially because you're in an entirely different continent, right? You're coming from wherever you came from, and again, you're in that very vulnerable age where, you know, something can make you snap. So right. I took it upon myself when those first initial soldiers came from wherever they came that first weekend, like, oh, we're going to do something. Like, we're going to go bowling. We're going to go laser tag. We're going to go eat. We're going to go do something. Because right. If you leave those people alone in their room, like, you have no idea what can happen.
Absolutely, man.
Right. And I think that's setting the tone for them right there, right? So you have individuals that will come in and do it, say, hey, I'm such and such. I'm Sergeant Snuffy. Nice to meet you. Here's your room. Just
bye.
Have a good weekend. what you did right there, like, oh, nah, okay, you in your room, you got everything you need. All right, cool. Guess what? Tomorrow, we're going to hit up the Ramstein bowling lane. After that, we're going to go ahead and, hey, Luxembourg's right up the street. Let's just go ahead and take a quick little drive and see General Patton's tomb and stuff like that. Just like the things that you did set the tone for those individuals, letting them know they're not alone. If they need something, they can count on you. And, you know, that's key right there. I think that's going to be beneficial in making sure individuals aren't getting depressed. Their anxiety levels don't build up. And, you know, the anxiety levels can build up really high, especially, like you said, being away from mommy and daddy and individuals being in that age category. So, yeah, kudos, brother, kudos.
Facts, bro, because I don't know, Eric, have you ever been deployed, like, to a combat zone?
This December I will be.
Okay. Hey, keep your head on the swivel, bro, and I'll be praying for you.
Yes, appreciate it.
No doubt. But, you know, I was deployed twice to Afghanistan, and like Marcella said, I mean, you're on a totally different continent. You're in a totally different country with the added on pressure that you think nobody outside this military base likes you. So, you know, that puts your anxiety on 100. But like Marcella said, when, you know, I mean, you deploy with that unit, you deploy with your leaders, and my leaders personally, man, I love each and every one of them. I still talk to each and every one of them to this day because they made sure everybody was solid. You know what I mean? Hey, what are we doing today? We're going to a section lunch. Boom, let's go. We hit the defect. We're going to walk together, talk together. We're going to have our own table. You know what I'm saying? All right, what you doing after work? Come on, let's go to the gym. There ain't no need for you to be sitting in the room. Nobody's awake yet in the United States. Come on, let's go get swole. You know what I mean? Just things like that. Or, hey, let's go to the NWR and play some ping pong. You know what I mean? Things like that. Because over there, bro, it's like I said, it's amplified, man. So you got to go above and beyond to get your mind off of everything that's going on at work, because you really don't clock out over there. You know what I mean? It's 24/7 for 9 months, you know, into a year. And go ahead.
Man, speaking of deployment, like, so I was deployed in Djibouti, Africa. And within like the first 3 weeks of us being there, someone that flew in with us, like, he committed suicide in his chew.
Oh, wow.
And, like I said, with that, you know, someone probably wasn't looking out for that guy because he had to be showing signs or something.
Right.
And it's just heartbreaking that stuff like that happens and no one gets an opportunity to help that person. Well, that person doesn't get an opportunity to get help.
Right. Absolutely, bro. It's always it's tough, man. And it's not even just junior enlisted. You know, I've been deployed and it's been high ranking officers who have, you know what I mean, just done the thing. But committed suicide. It's like it gets to people. But like you said, you know, leaders need to do a better job of knowing their soldiers, knowing, you know what I mean, who they have up under them, you know, what type of personality they are. Because, Eric, like you had said earlier, man, you know, you may notice somebody like, hey, they're acting real, real different. If you don't know how somebody acts, you know what I mean, off the bat, how can you spot those identifiers? Then they really become missed opportunities because you don't see the opportunity in the first place because you didn't get to know your soldier.
Correct. Yeah, no. And just to kind of piggyback off of what you said earlier, James, I tell you right now, when I got the four drum, like within a week, there was and believe it or not, we all need some behavioral help from every now and then. There was an individual, a clinical psychologist, who killed himself.
Wow.
So it doesn't it just it's not just one genre of person. It's not, it doesn't just affect, you know, like the military puts this stigma on suicide is high with those or only affects those ages 18 to 25 white male, right? I mean, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
I mean, we just have to be aware that sometimes there are indicators, there are indicators that these individuals show, and there are those times where those missed opportunities could be opportunities to get those individuals the assistance and help they need. Because I'll tell you, like, I just had an individual in my unit who had an attempt 4 or 5 weeks ago, but had no indicators at all. And it happens. Those happen.
Right.
And I'm not saying his leadership was bad at all, because they weren't. They were actually, you know, all about the soldiers. They you know, they do what they're supposed to do, monthly counselings. They do, platoon events and things like
right.
that, where they're trying to make sure the mental of the individual is good, because during this whole COVID thing, you got individuals who are locked down on restriction, can't go outside a certain mile radius, but are still expected to work with no reward, right? So
these right.
guys can't see their families. They can't kind of, you know, go do whatever it is they want to do. And it's a lot. It tends to, you know, beat on the soldier's mental.
Absolutely. I think not even just soldier. I think, you know, civilians as well, man, because they're stuck in the house just like us. Some people, you know, they can't see their children because of the profession that they work. You know, they still have to go to hospitals. And then, you know, you're coming home, you got an empty house now because everybody has to quarantine away from you. And, you know, that's depressing. You know what I mean? For lack of a better word, it's depressing. You know what I mean? And this whole COVID thing, man, it's tough, like you said, on a lot of people's mentals, because they don't, before, where they may have had limited accessibility to people that they had in the corner, now they don't have anything at all.
Correct.
But in that same aspect, I wanted to ask y'all, because you know I like to keep it positive, upbeat, uplifting. What are some of the things that or hobbies that y'all do that, you know, when you know you're starting to feel, because I don't know about y'all, I can almost feel when it's coming on, my depression or anxiety attacks, and I always try to nip it before it gets, you know what I mean, too bad. So like personally, I'll go play ball, or I'll go in the gym, you know what I mean, in my garage, and I got like a speed bag, reflex bag type thing. I go in there and I hit that for maybe about 30 minutes, and I channel that energy into something positive, like my physical health, or I'll like start diving into music that makes me want to get up and dance, you know, things like that, that I really enjoy, that put me in a happier mood. So what are some things you guys do?
So something that I do, man, I mean, like I said, I have my family. My daughter's 5. She's about to be 6 in like 18 days. Right. And I mean, that little girl, she lights my life up. So I just go play with her. I mean, don't get me wrong. My wife, she's amazing as well. But it's something that my daughter does to me. She brings out that little kid in me again. Because I think one of the things that it's okay to do is always go back and relive your childhood a little. And I think my daughter brings that out in me.
Yeah.
She brings that innocence, that happiness out. So does my wife. She brings up the happiness too, but she doesn't bring that kid out in me like my daughter
right.
can.
Right. It's a different type. It's that unconditional love. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
That's awesome, man. You be having tea parties and whatnot?
I do. I kid you not. Only thing I don't do, I don't put on a tutu, the crown, and all
nah,
that. But my daughter,
and makeup,
she knows that she needs a tea party guest. Dad is there. I got her.
Yeah. Man, I tell everybody, I don't care. Y'all seen the meme. I don't care how hard you are. If a little kid hands you a fake cell phone, you better answer that thing.
That's it.
That's beautiful, man. No, family is great, bro. I mean, like I said, my brother just came down. I haven't seen him in years, and we picked up and we reconnected, like, you know what I mean, nothing had ever happened. So it's always great to have family around, man. They definitely make a big impact.
That's good, man. That's a blessing.
Yes, sir. What about you, Marcellus?
Well, I'm an extrovert, so like, as long as someone's around me, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could be in the same room with me, we just be on our phone, and I'm good, you know? So,
yeah, I got that.
If I got someone to, like, hang out with, I'm all right for the most part. Especially, like, with my roommate, Victor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been one of my best friends since I joined the military or whatever. Yeah. But, like, I can't imagine how I would have been living here without a roommate. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Because I've always lived in the barracks, whatever, so you always had some type of interaction. But
right.
If I didn't have that, it would have been really strange for me. Like, it wouldn't have been, yeah, I wouldn't have been very comfortable.
Just no, I totally understand that, man, because like, you're in a new place. I mean, you don't know anybody other than the people in your unit. So it's always good to have somebody, like I said earlier in the episode, man, it's always good to have somebody you have a trust and a rapport built up with before. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
Eric, you play basketball? Because I heard you say y'all was balling in Germany.
Yeah. I play basketball. Still okay. Do.
Who's your squad, man?
My squad, I mean, it's the Knicks only by tradition. But I kid you, yeah. Who is?
Hey, bro. Man, now look, I'm gonna give you kudos just for telling everybody you're a Knicks fan. You know what I mean? You get credit for staying true to your team, my man.
But I can tell you right now, I mean, ever since I've seen this man play at Oak Hill Academy, I've been a big Carmelo Anthony fan.
Man, he doesn't get the respect he deserves, man. Definitely a great player, highly underrated.
Oh, for sure. I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, I watched the game earlier today where they were playing the Celtics, and yeah, he did pretty well.
He still got it, man. And, you know, it's funny, man, basketball, I love basketball because not only because I love to play the sport, it connects people. You know what I'm saying?
Like, for sure.
Me and Marcellus, our first interaction was a one-on-one basketball game.
Oh, wow.
Like, I swear, man, like, it was a one-on-one basketball game. Man. I was out there shooting by my lonesome, man. Had nobody to shoot with, you know what I mean? Chilling. Here comes tall, skinny Marcellus, sort of look like me, braids and glasses. Yeah, man, but, I mean, you know, sports and extracurricular activities, man, they play a big part in, you know, keeping you active. Marcellus, like you said, you're an extrovert, man, so you like being around people. Yeah. And having that camaraderie and, you know, that team spirit around you, you know what I mean? When you get a group of guys that you can play consistently with, it changes your vibe, man, because you start to look forward to those, you know, like they got noon ball where we're from, Eric. You know, when I'm home, I look forward to it because I don't get to play basketball much out here in Texas because y'all know it's a football state. Mm-hmm. So anytime I go back home, I look forward to doing that. And it's like I have the best days when I play basketball. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, I can lose every single game. You know, and that never happens. It rarely happens, but I could lose every single game and I could still walk away from the court like feeling good, feeling exhilarated. Like, I mean, it just puts a better spin on my day, man. So I encourage everybody listening, you know what I mean, just find that niche that, you know, makes you happy and just do it consistently. And I guarantee, let me not guarantee, but, you know, I will stand by me saying that it'll definitely help you have a better outlook in life. Now, do y'all disagree?
No, I don't disagree because when I look at it like music, right? Music is an international language, so is sports. I think everybody can come together and, you know, be brought together with basketball, with football, with music. I mean, look how, I mean, I know it's kind of going to be like a dark comment that I'm going to make, but not really too dark, but look how the death of Kobe Bryant brought the whole world together.
Man.
The whole world, not the United States, not Italy, not France, not Spain, the entire world mourned over this man and applauded his accolades and his career. And to this day, I mean, still he's getting the kudos he deserves. I for one miss Kobe Bryant as a entertainer. I tell you, but he was just amazing. I mean, he's a mentor too to the up and coming stars in the NBA.
I was just gonna say that. I was just gonna say his impact, man. He had such an impact not only in the NBA, just like you said, globally, man. That was a big loss, bro. I like you said, I miss Kobe too, bro.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was a big 76er fan at the time when they were going against each other. I didn't like Kobe then. No sending my Sixers home, Allen Iverson. I mean, I don't know Kobe on a personal level to say I dislike the man.
Right.
But on the sports passion, you know, I just liked him beating my teams.
Right. I tell people all the time, like, I respect Kobe for the greatness, you know what I mean? That is him. But I will never forgive Kobe for the 2001 NBA Finals. I just can't.
Nope.
I just can't. I mean, you know, RIP to the legend, man. But, hey, I just can't.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Big AI fan. But, yeah, bro, sports are international. You know, Stephon Marbury, for an example, you know what I mean? Grew up where y'all grew up in New York, was, you know, one of the best basketball players, I mean, in his family because all his brothers balled. I don't know if you knew that. Y'all knew that. But I mean, he dominated in China, man, and he was, like, a bigger star than what he – like, he was a star. He was Starbury. Y'all know Starbury, but there in China, man, he's, like – he's the MJ of China. It's crazy, man, but it's wild that, you know, sports are an international language. Music, like you said, another one, international language. I listen to Spanish music, you know what I mean, all the time, and I don't know a word that they're saying. I don't know a word that they're saying. I just enjoy the beat, and you know what I mean, it gets me in that uplifted spirit. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
It's interesting. So, if you watch the documentary, right? That's how you know all that information.
Yeah.
So, like, when it comes to like depression and stuff, like he was there. You know,
right.
he was at his bottom because the NBA was beating down on him. They made him into a villain. And right. That wears on people. And the same how he was like, you know, he wants to get to sports psychology. Like, those people need mental help too. And him just changing his environment changed everything. He probably wouldn't have been just as good or, you know, what he became as he was in China remaining in the NBA. He might have lasted another year or two, but he wouldn't produce very well just because of his mindset at the time.
Right. And Kevin Love even exposed, I don't want to really say exposed, but brought awareness to, you know, I mean, the mental health aspect of NBA players and, you know, athletes in general. I mean, we see them for 48 minutes running up and down a basketball court. After that, man, we don't know what goes on in their lives.
This is true.
You know what I mean? I'm on social media a lot only because, you know, that's how I connect to my family and everything being away. But when people start to idolize celebrities and things and like, oh, their life is my goals and things like that, man, I it grinds my gears. You know what I'm saying? Like Marcellus, one Sunday, you know what I mean? That's a hate. That's a hate right there because we don't know. It's sunshine and rainbows on social media because that's what they want you to see. But nobody knows what goes on behind those doors, man.
Yeah. People put them too high on the pedestal sometimes.
Those individuals, I mean, like for instance, you have actors who go out there and they put on a show. They're a professional performer, so they can perform to make it seem like everything is okay. And when they go home, guess what? They're probably the most depressed, anxiety-driven individuals who have nothing to come home to and need somebody, someone, something to help them. And we don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I don't think anybody expected Robin Williams to take his own life.
No, I can sit here and tell you I didn't.
Right. Yeah, that was a shocker. You know what I mean? Because you look at what he's portrayed and who we thought he was on screen. You know what I mean? It just makes it puts it in disbelief.
For sure.
But getting close to that time, Eric. Once again, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast, talking to the people. I know they appreciate it. I appreciate it. Is there anything, you know, mean you want to leave us with before you go?
Hey, I just want to say, if you see somebody out there, you don't even have to know them. Just ask them how they're doing and genuinely, like, care. It goes a long way asking somebody how they're doing because that person that you ask how they're doing may be on the verge of wanting to commit suicide or being depressed, and all they needed was an ear to, you know, have somebody to listen to them. So just for those listening, just please care. And for you gentlemen, I want to thank you, Marcellus. Brother, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait till we get on that court again. And then, yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you, man. Pleasure meeting you. And
thank you for having me. Absolutely, Eric, man. And if you're a brother of Marcellus's, man, you're a brother of mine, my brother. So blessings, you know what I mean? Blessings and abundance to you and your family, and I hope everything that you desire comes to you, my man.
Appreciate that.
No doubt. But until next time, family, positivity, prosperity. Peace.